Well, good morning. It's good to see a few of you here today. It's good to see some of you tuned in remotely. And whatever the case may be, we welcome you and glad that you decided to join us this morning. Before we get into the Word, I would like to ask prayer for my family. Yesterday, my mom took my dad to the ER for some other reasons that we were a little less concerned about. But while he was there, he got tested and tested positive for COVID. And so we're a little uneasy about that. Haven't been able to see him or talk to him. As you know, the protocol, they won't let anybody in. And so we're just kind of waiting to see how his condition is and what his symptoms are and all that stuff. So just a little bit of uncertainty. We would certainly appreciate your prayers for that. Every time, it's interesting to me how when I prepare a sermon or a message, how you never know the day that you're going to give it, the circumstances that happen to be going on in your life or in the life of the country or in anybody else's life. I don't just plan the messages out the day before. So we are now in week number 3 of our Fear Not series, and I really believe that God orchestrated this because I believe that this message in particular is going to be perfect for where we find ourselves at in this very moment. It's not certainly anything that I could have orchestrated or planned or figured out, but I believe that God did that because that's what God does. So far in the first couple weeks of this series, we've talked about the difference between healthy fear and unhealthy fear. And we said that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of self-control, and of love. And then last week we talked about how fear has its rightful place, and that is in the hands of God. Not that we aren't going to be fearful, or not that anxiety is not going to be part of our lives at times, but that when we do get it or have it, that we place it back in the hands of God and do not hold on to it for ourselves. And so those were kind of the things that we talked about in the first 2 weeks. And today, we are now into week number 3, and the subtitle is Focused on Today. Fear Not, Focused on Today. And I think we're in for a treat today as we look at one of the most important lessons that Jesus taught his original followers. I think the lesson that we learned today is one of the most important lessons that he taught his followers. Now, he taught them all kinds and many important ones, but this one in particular, I think, is very valuable. This is a teaching that we cannot miss, and its lifelong importance we must understand. It's the one a lot of people struggle with when it relates to fear and anxiety. This principle is one that we struggle with, or especially those that deal with fear and anxiety. And simply put, it is this: as followers of Christ, we are called to be focused on today. We are called to be focused on today. The phrase "take it one day at a time" is often used, right? When you're stressed out, or when you're talking to a friend and sharing some of your frustrations, or maybe your boss or your spouse or whatever, or your kids had a stressful day, what do we often tell them? Oh, take it one day at a time. And now it seems overused, and it seems oversimplified, right? Well, just take it one day at a time. Yeah, easy for you to say. You're not going through this. It seems a little bit overused. But in reality, that phrase is a paraphrase straight out of God's Word. So although it seems simple, it is straight out of God's Word. We know what today holds, and therefore that's what we ought to be focused on. We don't even know if tomorrow will exist, right? Why would we worry about tomorrow when we don't even know if it's going to exist? I mean, we know that God is coming back. Again, it could be today. Why would we worry about tomorrow when it might not even exist? So let's be honest about something here. The opportunities for fear, the opportunities for doubt and for worry and anxiety are at historically high levels today. They are at historically high levels today. This evil virus is now ramping up, and there's more cases now than ever before, and it's on the rise. And in many ways, it seems like there's no end in sight. We've done all the masking and the quarantining and the lockdown, and now all of a sudden it seems like there's no end in sight. It doesn't even seem like it's made a difference. And then, of course, we have the election. We have a new president-elect that virtually, if you think about it, half of the American people didn't want. If you think about it, when you look at the vote count, it's almost split down the middle, okay? So Biden received a few more votes. But when you think about it, the result of the election is a president-elect that half of the people didn't want. Let's just be real, okay? So again, historically high levels of anxiety, fear, and doubt this very day in America. The current climate only makes Jesus' words even more wonderful to hear when Jesus spoke these words in Matthew 6:31. One more time, the Savior of mankind said, "Do not worry about tomorrow." That's what he said. And what does that leave us with? It leaves us with the day at hand then. If we can't worry about tomorrow, we're not supposed to worry about tomorrow, then the idea is we should be focused on today. It allows us to focus on today, to be present, and to deal appropriately with every circumstance and situation that comes up today. Today. I don't know about you, but I find it that incredibly freeing. When God tells me not to worry about tomorrow, that statement seems very freeing to me. That tells me the only thing that I have to be worried about is right now what's happening in my life this very moment on this very day. That's very freeing. As I shared with you, my dad was diagnosed with or tested positive for COVID. So I'll use that for an example in this moment. I have no idea what that looks like for him tomorrow or the next day or the next day. I don't know if he'll gain symptoms. And if he does, I don't know how severe they will be. It affects people differently. I just don't know. So it makes no sense for me to worry about that because I just don't know anyway. But today he's doing well. And today his vitals are good. So that's what I'm focused on. Why? Because that's what God's word tells me to do. God's word tells me to be focused on what is happening today. And I take encouragement that today he's doing well. But let's take a moment to read more of what Jesus said about worry in Matthew chapter 6. Starting in verse 25, this is what it says. And it'll be up there on the screen for you to follow along. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. The birds of the air, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Father, Heavenly Father, feeds them. Are you much more valuable than they? Who of you worrying can add a single day to his or her life?" And I would suggest just the opposite. You may take away a few days if you worry too much. In verse 28, "And why do you worry about the clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" So again, in verse 31, "So do not worry about anything, what we shall eat or drink, or what we shall wear." And then closing that out, in verse 34, it says this, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worry, for worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So I want to break that text down just a little bit. But what is the first thing that we see in there? Is our value in Christ. Our value in Christ. To begin, let's collectively remember that life is more important than the food you eat, the clothes that you wear, the vacations that you take, the size of your retirement account, your zip code, or anything else. Nothing is more important. Everything is more important. In fact, God believes you are of so much value that He sent His one and only Son to die and suffer in your place that you might spend eternity with Him. Think about the kind of value that God placed on your life when He did that. He doesn't place that much value on somebody's life without a plan to take care of it. The Father doesn't want you wasting 1 second of this precious life paralyzed by unhealthy fear, worry, or anxiety, or doubt. Basically, when Jesus went to the cross, He said, I am willing to take all of that on my own. I am willing to take all of your worries. I am willing to take all of your anxiety, all of your fear, all of your doubt, and all of your cares, and I am willing to put them on my shoulders. Why? Because I love you, and I don't want you to spend another day in fear. That's what Jesus did. The secret about fear, anxiety, and worry is that they belong in the hands of God. We talked about that last week when Paul said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your requests to God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then Jesus says in Matthew, "You do not need to worry." He says it's a waste of your eternal valuable time and energy. Don't worry about tomorrow. You got better things to do tomorrow. Only be focused on today. We have infinite value in God's eyes. The second thing that I see in that is this whole concept of your daily bread. Your daily bread. You may remember that that the command "fear not," I said, is in the Bible 365 times. You remember that from week one? I said it's in there 365 times, which just happens to be one "fear not" for every day of the year. Many commentators marvel that God gave us a specific exhortation for every single day of the year. Every single day of the year, you could read "fear not" in the scripture, and it would be a different verse each time if you wanted to do that. You could literally make a calendar with a different "fear not" verse every single day of the year. For example, Isaiah 43:1, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." 9 verses later, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." And the list goes on and on and on. But now I want to turn your attention to something that Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer, also found in Matthew chapter 6. In regards to prayer, He says this: "This then is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread." Give us today our daily bread. Give me what I need today. I'm not worried about tomorrow. Just give me, Lord, what I need this day. See, Jesus reminds us of a couple of key things here. First, that our God in heaven is holy and worthy of our reverence. His will on earth is what we need. And secondly, we need Him to give us our daily bread, our daily nourishment and sustenance. Many of us consume a daily portion of fear instead. Add to that a little sprinkle of anxiety and a little dash of worry and a tablespoon of doubt, etc., and it becomes like junk food for our souls. And what does a steady diet of junk food lead to? Unhealthiness, extra weight, things that aren't good for us. And I'm here to tell you, when we have this junk food diet for our souls of worry, anxiety, doubt, and fear, and all those things, it is not healthy for us either. It's like junk food for our soul. But before we move on, catch a hold of what Jesus is saying in Matthew 6. He's telling you, do not worry about tomorrow. It has enough troubles of its own. He's telling you to pray and specifically ask God for the daily food and nourishment that you need. Daily. God didn't say, ask me today what you need for tomorrow. He said, ask me today what you need for today. And even his advice on prayer is focused on your practical and everyday needs. You see, God is not only the eternal divine creator of the cosmos, of the universe, but he's also your heavenly Father. Wrap your minds around that for just a minute. That the creator of the cosmos, the creator of the universe, the creator of all things, is also your heavenly Father, and he cares for you and your well-being. He knows that every single day brings along an ample amount of trouble. I've said this 2 weeks ago, and I probably even said it last week. I'm not suggesting that we're not going to have fear and anxiety. We live in a very troubled world. We live in a flesh and sin-filled world. So it's not that we're not going to have it. These things include being scared of and worried about and anxious over many things. I believe this is why he has given us this daily reminder to fear not. I believe this is why he reminded us to ask specifically for our daily bread. And I believe this is why we're told to stay focused on today. God in heaven knows that a single day at a time is enough of a challenge for you and I. God is saying, look, I know that the troubles that you have today are enough for you. Don't worry about the ones tomorrow. Don't add on to the troubles that you already have today. See, God already knew that we were going to face troubles today. God already knew that when we woke up in the morning that we were going to have troubles today. And he's saying, look, look, you have enough things to think about today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. He's saying, you can't handle all of that. You can't handle today's worries and anxieties and then add on to them tomorrow's. You can't do it. So don't. Quit trying. The third thing that I see in this text is our responsibility, or your responsibility. We trust that God is going to provide, but we still have a responsibility. I said earlier that I thought this was all incredibly freeing, and I want to elaborate on that a bit more. This whole idea of God telling us not to worry about tomorrow, I said, was freeing. To do that, I need to call your attention back to what we first learned about fear a couple of Sundays ago, when we talked about the difference between healthy fear and unhealthy fear. And then second, we talked about putting fear in its proper place. When you add to that, we're learning from Jesus today, you begin to see how to overcome fear. Define healthy fear and unhealthy fear. Place it in the hands of Jesus, in the hands of God, and then don't worry about tomorrow's trouble. With some self-discipline and confidence in the process, you can take the fear, the worry, the doubt, and the anxiety and put them in their proper place, knowing that your responsibility is to be focused on this moment, this day. You don't have to be consumed with what might happen tomorrow. How many times do we get consumed with what might be the case? And then we worry about it, and then the day comes, and you're like, well, it turned out to be nothing. And we worried about it all along. We worried about what's going to happen next month, and we allow it to consume our minds, and we allow it to become paralyzing and debilitating. And then that day comes, and we're like, that's what I was worried about? Why? Because God had a plan for it all along. God had a plan for it all along. You're too valuable, and your time on earth is too precious to be lost to future fear that truly you don't even know will even exist. Can I say that again? You're too valuable, and your time on earth is too precious to be lost in future fear that may not even exist, or fear troubles that might not even exist, shall I say. Many people have lost a lot of precious time in the last few months. Many people have lost a lot of precious time in the last 2 months because they were so focused, consumed, worried, anxious on a future date of November 3rd. And they were so worried about it that it consumed their every waking moment, and they lost months of valuable time because they were so worried about what was going to happen on November 3rd. And you know what the funny thing about it is? The strange thing about it was not that level of anxiety did not have one single ounce of influence on the result of November 3rd. All it did was paralyze them for the few months leading up to it. All it did is it robbed them of life and joy during that time. That's all it did. Now the election is over, and many are once again paralyzed by fear because in their minds, America's going to be destroyed in January. I highly doubt that it's going to be destroyed. Again, now for half of America, this whole it's stealing life and joy from them because they're worried about something that's going to happen in January and following. As people of God, we walk and live by faith. We must trust God even in the face of fear, as we're learning through this series. We can play an active role in identifying fear and giving it back to God. That's what we must do. This is our daily responsibility. I'm reminded of the story in Numbers 13 and 14 where the 12 spies went to explore the promised land. Do you remember the story? 12 spies went in to explore the promised land, and they returned. And how did they return? They returned with a tremendous amount of fear and a tremendous amount of anxiety. They returned with a fearful report about the giants who lived in the fortified cities, and they said, "Oh my goodness, the city is filled with giants. We have no chance. We have no chance." And then after that, Caleb and Joshua were the only spies who went in and trusted God would deliver his people into the land that he had promised. The 12 spies went in there and they were like, "We can't do it. We cannot do it." Caleb and Joshua went in there and said, "We're trusting God." The rest of the spies and all the people rebelled against God and Moses and decided it would be better to return to slavery in Egypt. They allowed their fear and in their anxiety and their doubt to create in them a desire to return to slavery. Friends, that is not what God desires of us. God does not want us and our fears to drive us back into slavery. In this instance, it cost God's people what? Ready for this? It cost them 40 additional years of wandering in the desert because they chose to give in to the fear and the doubts and the anxiety. In other words, the people of God allowed fear to rob them of the promise that God had for them. Here's the crazy part. God had already made the promise. He had already promised it to them. And they allowed their fear to rob them of that promise. And they allowed that fear to steal 40 years of their precious time. For many, that was the rest of their lives. Why? Because of fear and anxiety and doubt. Why? Because they weren't focused on the day. They were focused on what they saw inside. They weren't focused on God's promise for today. They were focused on what they thought they saw. They weren't focused on today and the promises of today. They were focused on something different. We need to be focused on God's promise for today. Let me close with this. Obviously, that's a pretty intense story. Now, I don't know that, and it may happen, and it probably has happened. There are people in this life, or who have gone on before us, that have lost hours, days, weeks, months, years of their life crippled by fear. And I'm telling you, it's true. There are people that live in so much fear that they have lost days and months and weeks and years off of their life. They have allowed the fear to rob them of joy and rob them of the life, the abundant life that God wants for them, because they're constantly worrying about tomorrow and not focused on today. Now, probably for 99.9% of the people, their story is not as intense as the one that we just talked about. In fact, it is one of the most painful stories in history of God's people being set free from slavery and entering the promised land. Some of the main points of the story, however, are still applicable in our lives. So the question that I have for you this morning, is fear robbing you of the promise of God in your life? Is fear robbing you the promise of God in your life? And I can tell you with absolute certainty that that is the case for a lot of people. All you got to do is scroll through some Facebook posts, and you will clearly see that people are allowing fear and anxiety to rob them of joy. And it breaks my heart because these are people that I know and friends that I know that I never thought this would happen to. And I look and I see and I'm like, my goodness. They are gripped and crippled by fear, and it is robbing them of life and is robbing them of joy. Is fear stealing precious time in your life? Is fear robbing you of time that should be spent loving others? Is fear robbing you of time that should be spent building relationships with your family? Are you feeling paralyzed by the potential trouble that the future may or may not bring? I can't emphasize that enough. Are we paralyzed by the potential trouble that might not even be there? Because I got to tell you, a lot of these things we make up in our own mind even. I could go on and on here. There are a multitude of ways that fear affects and redirects our life. At the conclusion of the first sermon in this series, I said it speaks to just how destructive unhealthy fear can be in our lives, that we need power, love, and self-control to overcome it. See, God knew that fear and anxiety would weigh so heavy on our hearts that it would take power and love and self-discipline to overcome it. We desperately need the discipline to check ourselves throughout the day and say to ourselves, am I worried about what's happening right now, or am I worried about what's happening tomorrow that might not even exist? We need discipline to form new habits in identifying healthy fear and unhealthy fear that we need, and we need abundant power and love in our responses. And today I want to add an important addendum to that statement. We only need to exercise that spirit-filled self-discipline one day at a time in harmony with our text in Matthew 6. We just need to be focused on today. Why? Because when we get to tomorrow, it'll have plenty of its own to deal with. Let's just wait until we get there to deal with it. Now, I'm not suggesting that we don't set goals for our life. I'm not suggesting that we don't have career goals and financial goals. Well, why would I have a goal for next week if I don't even know if next week will be here? That's not what I'm suggesting. I hope you understand that. What I am suggesting is don't make trouble that might not even exist. Don't be focused on something that might not even exist when you have enough on your plate right now to deal with. In the past 2 weeks, I've given you a specific challenge, and this coming week, I want to continue them. Every day, I want you to identify areas of unhealthy and healthy fear in your life. It's important that we make a checklist and say, okay, I'm afraid of this. Is this healthy? Is it keeping me safe? Is it keeping me guarded? Or is that unhealthy? Is it crippling me? Is it paralyzing me? And is it robbing me and stealing me of joy in life? So I want you to keep doing that. Then I want you to place that fear once you identify it as unhealthy fear. When you go through that checklist and you find the unhealthy fear, I want you to immediately give it back to God and put it back in the hands of God where it belongs. As you continue to make this a habit, I believe that you will begin to experience a divine peace in your life that transcends human understanding. Why do I believe that? Because God's word says it. I don't believe it. I didn't make it up. I believe it. I don't believe it because I made it up. I believe it because God's word says it. And more importantly, I believe that you will begin to put a distance between yourself and your fear. You will begin to put a distance between yourself and your anxiety. You will begin to put a distance between yourself and your doubt. All the while living the life that God intends for you to live. He says, my desire is to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. We can't receive the abundant blessings of this life that God wants to give to us if we're wrapped up in our fear and doubt and anxiety, especially those things that might not even be a thing. Before we close together in prayer, I want you to imagine for a moment how different the history of the Israelite people could have been. Just think for a moment how different it could have been for the Israelites if they had been practicing what you are in regards to fear. If the Israelite people could have made a checklist and said, hey, is this healthy or unhealthy? And then when they identified it as unhealthy fear, if they would have put it into the hands of God. And then once they put it in the hands of God, if they would have just been worried about what they were facing that day, how different life would have been for them. What if the 12 spies had returned from the promised land and said something like this? We already know what they said. They said, whoa, giants in that land. Back out, can't do it, not doing it. Too afraid. What if their response would have been this? Father in heaven, thank you for freeing us from slavery in Egypt. Thank you for providing us 40 days in the desert. And thank you for bringing us here to the very edge of the land that you promised. Lord, we do see giants in that land. So I'm not suggesting that we don't not see things that are there. Lord, we see the giants in the land. We see that the land has impenetrable cities, and we are scared. It's hard to see how we might be successful in the battle against enemies like them, but God, we know that you can do something. We know that you can do something. We know that you can do anything. We know that you can start a bush on fire and not consume it. We already know that you can do that. Oh, by the way, Lord, we know that you can take this big, huge sea and just split it. We know that you can do that. We know that you destroyed the armies of Pharaoh, and now we trust that you can do this as well. Lead us, O Lord. Calm our hearts and deliver us into the promised land. Amen. How do you think life would have been, how different do you think life would have been for the Israelites had that been their response? I think their initial part of their response was okay. Lord, we see giants in the land. Lord, we see impenetrable walls. Lord, we are scared. Those responses are all okay if they're followed by, but God, we know what you've done in the past, and we believe that you can do it again. Deliver us. Amen. It's okay to say, God, what I see as a potential for tomorrow worries me. What I see as a potential tomorrow scares me. Lord, what I see tomorrow, I'm really anxious about. But God, I have enough to deal with today, and I'm trusting you because of the things that you've already done in my life in the past that you will take care of tomorrow. Think how differently by adding the but God can add to a situation. How different would their life have been? How different would your life look, and could my life look, if we would fully trust and focus on, fully trust God and focus on just today? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you have a plan for tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And Lord, remind us that your part of your plan does not involve us worrying about it. In fact, that's the very opposite of your plan. Your plan is for us to be focused on today and put tomorrow into your hands and put the things of tomorrow that concern us into your hands. That's your plan. Lord, we do trust you to provide for today. We trust you to provide for tomorrow. Lord, I pray that we would continue to be able to identify fear, unhealthy fear and healthy fear. And Lord, I pray that we would continue to have the discipline to give the unhealthy fear back to you. And Lord, I pray that you would give us hearts that would be focused on today, and not worried about the fear of tomorrow that may or may not even happen. Lord, may the reminder to us of what a difference their lives could have been like for the Israelites, may that reminder, may that be a powerful reminder for us of what could happen to our lives, what can happen in our lives, if we put our trust in you and worry only about today. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Please stand if you're able. A song we're going to sing called Still, there's a line in it that the chorus I absolutely love, and it's, when the oceans rise and the thunders roar, I will be still and know that you are God.